is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody for being tuned in all over North America, regardless of where you might be. You don't have to be here in Georgia with me. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, I hope you're safe. I hope you're well. I hope you have had a tremendous Tuesday. I'll be hanging out with you for the next 4 hours. This is when the show gets started every weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. Thank you so much to our producer holding it down in New York City, Ryan Botcher. We got a lot to get into here. NBA Finals looks just about a wrap. Pacers look just about cooked. And now you got Tyrese Halliburton. He's getting ready to have an MRI on apparently a strained calf. Yeah, the Pacers, they're cooked. Tonight in Sunrise, Florida, Panthers hope that the Edmonton Oilers, they hope that they cook them and send them back to Canada without a Stanley Cup. Well, they hope so. Yeah, the Panthers have an opportunity to clinch and go back-to-back tonight down in Florida. Shohei Ohtani made his debut last night, beating the Padres, even though he only pitched one inning. Travis Hunter, he's going to be doing a lot of work, according to the Jacksonville Jaguars' new general manager, Manny Ramirez. He says that one guy, well, he was mistreated at work. That guy's name is Rafael Devers, who's going to make his debut tonight for the San Francisco Giants. Hey, we got Matt Moore joining us to talk some hoops from the Action Network. We got Bob Nightingale coming through from USA Today to talk some baseball, Stanley Cup Finals, NBA Finals, and dare I say, we even have some football. Yeah, Travis Hunter, Christian McCaffrey, Noah Lyles. He doesn't play football. He gets into it with football players and more. If you want to be a part of the show, you can do that. Here's the number, 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. You can find me online. I am all over the internet. I exist. I am at JR Sport Brief. Ryan Botcher, welcome back. How are you on this Tuesday?
I'm great. I'm doing pretty solid.
Okay, good. I'm happy for you, man. Well, thank you for being here. Thank you for helping to run the show and put it together and all the things from soup to nuts. So very much appreciate it. Anyway, we got a lot to get into. Let's just get into this unfortunate news right out of the box as it relates to Tyrese Halliburton. Last night, the Thunder put the Pacers. They put their backs up against the wall. They put them on the edge. Last night, we had an opportunity to talk about this while it was going on live. And the Thunder, they beat the Pacers 120-109. Jalen Williams went out there, dropped a career high, a playoff high. He had 40 points. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 31 points, 10 assists, some big defensive stops. And the Pacers, well, their superstar, Tyrese Halliburton, he could only muster 4 points. This man injured his calf early in the game. He went to the back. He came back out, and he was pretty much cooked. It didn't take a rocket scientist to see that Tyrese Halliburton and his body, his leg, his calf, were compromised. And so to think about what happens next, well, I know what happens next. The Pacers are done. I don't care what that MRI says. Keep in mind, Tyrese Halliburton was injured earlier on in this series. He was kind of limping around after game two, and then he came back and played, and now he's looking like he's done. Now, let's also be honest here. If you're the Indiana Pacers, the last thing you want is for a sore calf, a calf strain, anything to now develop into a larger issue. I mean, it doesn't take a game of operation to figure out the calf is connected to the Achilles is connected to the ankle, the foot, everything is connected. You screw up one thing, everything can all go out of whack. Go ahead and ask Kevin Durant circa 2019. Knowing that he was moving on from Golden State, going to Brooklyn, and Brooklyn was going to acquire him after he couldn't make it through the NBA playoffs. He tried to push it through, and boom, pop goes the Achilles. Nobody wants that for Tyrese Halliburton. I mean, last night, before it was reported that he was scheduled for an MRI, Tyrese Halliburton says, you know what? Yeah, I got hurt, but at the end of the day, I was not going to quit. I was not going to stop. Listen to what he said.
I mean, it's NBA Finals. It's the finals, man. I've worked my whole life to be here, and I want to be out there to compete, you know, help my teammates any way I can.
Yeah, help them out anyway. Well, can't do much or nothing if you can't push off. can't run, can't jump, can't accelerate. That's what this guy's game is predicated on. Moving, and moving quick and fast and finding the open man. If he can't play defense, if he can't play offense, if he can't get the ball and go the other way, then what good is he? Damn, he might as well just throw T.J. McConnell out there and hope that he has the game of his life, the game of his career. I mean, last night he did have 18 points off the bench. The Pacers did go on a little bit of a run at the end of the game, but then OKC just pretty much, they closed the book on him and said, no, not tonight. Rick Carlisle, head coach of the Indiana Pacers, he talked about Tyrese Haliburton. He's like, listen, man, that dude over there is a tough you-know-what.
This is a lifetime opportunity, and not many guys are going to sit, you know, even if they're a little banged up. You know, if you're injured, that's a different story, you know. But we'll evaluate everything with Tyrese and, you know, see how he wakes up tomorrow.
Oh, boy. He didn't wake up good today because, as I told you, he's getting an MRI on a calf strain. This is not what you want heading into a game six. This is not what you want trying to push and force towards a game seven. This is not what you want being down 3-2 here in the series. Listen to what Shams had to say about Haliburton and his calf injury earlier today on ESPN.
Malika, the belief is that Tyrese Haliburton has strained his right calf, and I'm told he will undergo an MRI to determine the exact severity of this strain. And remember, this is the same leg that he had ankle soreness in last week. He was adamant after Game 5 that he would be playing in Thursday's Game 6 of the NBA Finals. It is the NBA Finals, but it was described to me today that if this were the regular season or even the first round, there's doubt that he would play. So once the Pacers and Haliburton get the results back on this MRI, on that calf strain, they're going to be able to identify the severity and then huddle and map out exactly what the plan will be going into game six.
It's a wrap. And he's absolutely right. Come on, man. If this was the regular season, why would that man be? What NBA player have you seen that's capable of doing more than that? What player have you seen wake up and say, oh, yeah, you know, coach, I heard I can only give you 4 points. Man, nobody doing that. This was the regular season. They would have packed him up for a couple of days. Maybe they would have packed him up for a few weeks. But the hope is that he can maybe potentially push through Thursday night, tomorrow back in Indianapolis. I don't know. They're going to give this guy a shot. They're going to tell him to take it easy. Is he going to be a big old decoy? He will be out there unless they feel his leg is being held together by, you know, popsicle sticks and some chewing gum. Tyrese Haliburton, I'd be surprised if he's not playing. He may not be able to go full bore. I think we saw that last night. But just the art of deception is pretty much all that these Indiana Pacers have left. They got ran into the ground last night. Jalen Williams is out there dream shaking guys and hitting fadeaway shots. He was asked about his own performance, a career playoff high, 40 points. And he says, you know what? I do not care. I want the ring. I want the championship.
It's something more that I'll like look back on later on than like worry about what kind of statement it makes. I think the only statement we have right now is we're up 3-2 and we still have to go earn another win. But it'll be cool to look back on later on.
Yeah, if they win a title. And his co-star schmuck, the MVP, the reigning MVP, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, he went out there, had 31 points and 10 assists. And even he looked at his teammate Jalen Williams, was like, well, damn, bro, where'd you get that from?
He was, like, really gutsy tonight. He stepped into big plays. Felt like every time he needed a shot, he made it. He wasn't afraid. He was fearless tonight. And, whether they went in or didn't, and obviously tonight they went in more than they didn't, but he stepped into the plays with confidence for sure.
Oh, yeah. Now they're up 3-2. They got a chance to close them out tomorrow in Indianapolis. Now, it would have been cool to see the Paycom Center. It would have been cool to see the Oklahoma City Thunder, their home arena, erupt. The place is loud. They got the lights. It's like a light show out there, like an EDM concert checking in on the Oklahoma City Thunder. It'd be cool to see them pick up that victory. I remember the last time they were in the NBA Finals, they were taking on LeBron James and Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade and Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, and James Harden. The young trio could not get the job done. The place was moving and jumping at that point in time. It would have been great to see the home fans be able to celebrate, but I don't think that's going to happen. I think we're going to get to Thursday, and the NBA Finals will be a wrap. We can then start thinking about the draft lottery. Well, not the lottery, but the actual draft. We can think about what miserable parade they'll probably have in Oklahoma City. No disrespect to them, but I can imagine that parade will not be all that exciting in the streets of OKC. And then we can just start thinking about some of these trades going on. Is Kevin Durant going to move? Is Giannis eventually going to move on? What's going to happen with the draft after Cooper Flagg? And so there's a lot of questions. But before we get there, there's two things I'd like to see. Tyrese Haliburton make it out of the playoffs, get through the finals, healthy enough to conclude the series and certainly healthy enough to start next season without any massive delays or constructive surgeries. That would be great. And second, let's just get this over with, okay? God bless the Pacers if they could force a game 7 on Thursday. God bless them if we get more basketball on Sunday. But at this point in time, with a one-legged Tyrese Haliburton, it's very simple for me. Very, very simple answer here. I'm done. I'm finished. Finish him. This is like the end of Mortal Kombat. This is when, one of the guys comes out and says, finish him, and you got to give him the fatality. The Pacers, it's time to read them their last rites. The Pacers, I think time is up. The Pacers, I thought that they would pick up a game or two, and that's exactly what they have. And the Pacers, well, they're going to join all the other NBA teams with their seasons over. I just hope, as much of a pain in the ass that he is, I'm not wishing injury on anybody. I hope Haliburton makes it out without anything major. Looks like we're going to have the Oklahoma City Thunder be crowned your 2025 NBA champs. And I love this parity in the NBA. Last year it was the Celtics. We expected them to be here. The year before that we had the Nuggets. Then we had the Warriors shock the Celtics, or even for being there. We had the Bucks, the Lakers, the Raptors back in 2019. Every single season here that we've had since the Warriors repeated in 17 and 18, we've had a new champ. I mean, that should breathe some life into some of these miserable NBA franchises out there, which is why I think we got so many guys who are angling for someone like a Kevin Durant, a former member of the Thunder, who's been now a multiple time finals MVP, MVP this. Kevin Durant is like, I play ball. I'm a hired gun. Where can I go? And we'll talk about Kevin Durant later on in the show. All the best to Tyrese Haliburton as he's getting this MRI on his leg. Nobody wants to see a series end or be put down due to injury, let alone a player have to go down due to an injury. And the Thunder, if I'm a Thunder fan, I'm just crossing my fingers, man. Finish it off. Get it done. Get her done on Thursday. And the NBA season. It's time to move on. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. I told you that will take place on Thursday. Tonight, we could have another champion crown. The Florida Panthers are trying to eliminate and finish off the Edmonton Oilers down in Sunrise, Florida. We'll talk about that game. Man, Travis Hunter, there's so many comments about what he can or can't do. Rafael Devers has been introduced in San Francisco, I'm pretty sure, with lots of hugs and kisses now that he's no longer in Boston. Matt Moore is going to join us to talk some hoops from the Action Network. Bob Nightingale will be here to talk some baseball from USA Today. We're going to talk about, speaking of championships, LeBron James had some comments on rings and the validity of rings and how many rings do you need to be great. So we have a lot to do. You want to be a part of the show? You can. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. When we come back from break, you know what? Let's talk about something else that took place last night. The return to the mound by Shohei Ohtani. Was it good? Wasn't bad. Shohei Ohtani, he returned to the mound, and his translator, well, I think I told you yesterday where he ended up. I'll remind you on the other side. Congratulations, we're just getting started. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISM. Before we get into some of the hockey action tonight, before we get into Shohei Ohtani, what he did last night, making his pitching debut for the Dodgers, and let's ask our producer here, Ryan Botcher, before we move on from the Pacers for the meantime, what are your thoughts on the rest of this series and what we might see?
Oh, I'm fully believing that this series is done now in six. If they don't have Tyrese Haliburton to control that offense, I really don't believe in Andrew Nembhard. I don't believe in Nesmith, and I don't believe in TJ McConnell to play a good 48 minutes.
Yeah, no Haliburton. The Pacers are basically a 500 team. They're just call a spade. They got healthy around January 1st. They were able to turn things around. They've been one of the best teams in the NBA. But it's curtains. It's finished. It's done.
It's going to be like a bunch of chickens with their heads running around trying to squirrel to try to catch up with the Thunder. Well, it's going to be wild, uncontrolled.
He's one of the best point guards that we have in the league. He certainly sets the pace. We've seen what he's been able to do at the end of games. We see how he controls the game, and it's just bad. I mean, if you're a Pacers fan, I would also be honest. Did you expect to be here? Did you expect to be in this space? The answer is probably not. And it's one thing to be one of the best kept secrets here throughout the course of the regular season, going into the postseason, you're the underdog. It's another thing when you just kind of get chopped down by the legs at the end of the season. So we'll see what happens with Haliburton. But either way, whether he's playing and compromised or he's out, it's looking like curtains for the Indiana Pacers. Injuries suck. It's certainly a part of sports. And there's one guy who's very familiar with that. I'm not going to say more than other people because he can hit, he can pitch. He's just stealing bases last year because he didn't have to pitch. So he said, why not just run wild? Shohei Ohtani made his pitching debut for the Los Angeles Dodgers. Yeah, they're giving this guy $700 million over the next 20 years. And they said, oh, well, we know he's not going to pitch in the first year. Who cares? We're going to pay him regardless. He had a 50-50 season, MVP, helped them win a World Series. I guess he's already kind of helped them cash out in more ways than one when you think about the attraction of the Japanese market in Los Angeles. Ohtani is big business. So last night, he was the opener. He pitched one inning. The Dodgers beat the Padres. I'll get to how he won or how he helped himself and the team win. Of course he did. 28 pitches in that first inning, 16 strikes thrown, one run, two hits, and I guess the most important thing coming off of Tommy John isn't necessarily the location, but the fact that Shohei Ohtani was able to go out there and still throw some gas. The man went past 100 miles per hour and was consistently in the high 90s. So he's just a beast. He's a freak. He is a baseball machine. And so knowing that he went out there, was only going to pitch one inning, he stayed in the game as a DH. He went 2-for-4 at the plate, 2 RBIs, had a game tying double, hit the go ahead single. What else is new when you're Shohei Ohtani? Everything just works out in this guy's favor. Dave Roberts, the manager of the Dodgers, he talked about Ohtani and his return to the baseball mound.
I thought it was great. Obviously, he gave up a run, but I thought the stuff was really good. Much better as far as the fastball velocity than I think anyone anticipated. Hit 100. I was thinking 95 to 97, but I think that just a competitor adrenaline came out in him.
So simple question, Dave Roberts. You good with what you saw? You happy with it?
Seeing how he's just managed the emotions of it all. You got to be extremely disciplined to be able to kind of put your mind and body in the position to do that. But the stuff, like I said, I didn't expect to see 100 tonight. I didn't expect to see the command that he had tonight. And the stuff was really good.
Well, we know he's a freak. If God made a baseball player, I guess it'd be him. He's out there doing everything humanly possible. He's like, I pitch, I hit, I steal bases. Shohei Ohtani is amazing. You think about the Dodgers and some of the issues that they've had throughout the course of the regular season, and they're just getting this guy warmed up. And you spending $700 million on a dude? Yeah, a little disappointing to not have him thrown to the wolves or not see him out there in, you know, 3 innings, 4 innings, 5 innings, 6 innings. I know that's the new era of baseball, 6 innings, a quality start. They're paying him so much money. We aren't going to see no rehab starts. We weren't going to see him take that bat down to the minors. This has been a slow grind here for Shohei Ohtani as the Dodgers are trying to go out there and win yet another World Series. Little appetizer. I hate the whole opener idea, but hey, you got to get him in when you can. I'm sure next go around he'll go maybe two or three as they start to build him up in the regular season. It's unusual. We don't see this because we've never seen this. We've never seen a guy who is pitching and hitting at the same time at an all-star elite level. Dodgers can hope that by the time they get to the postseason, they got a weapon here in Shohei Ohtani. And it's still kind of crazy since he's been a member of the Dodgers. He hasn't pitched. Last time he threw a baseball was in another Los Angeles uniform. Wild stuff here. Hey, Botcher, what do you think about his potential and what we're going to see? They're going to give him the slow walk here.
I don't actually like the way they're stretching Ohtani out here. I understand he's been doing the backfield workouts, throwing to live hitters, but him pitching important, meaningful games for the Dodgers just doesn't feel right until he's fully stretched out to throw 100 pitches. And I know we all expect him to be great, but you're putting more pressure on the guy who's trying to get into a groove, get into a routine now over every 5 or 6 days. You can't expect the guy to be great. He's going to mess up his arm, mess up his momentum here.
Yeah, there's no other way to do it. It's one thing if he was just a pitcher and you were just going to throw him down to the minors and then give him a start and work him out. You want to keep his bat out there. I don't think there's, to be honest, I think throwing the baseball now in June for an inning, I don't think there is any pressure because the idea is not for him to do anything in June or July or August. It's to see can we get some something solid out of him come late in the season. And I don't, in all honesty, I don't even think it's a move. Yes, it's for this season, but they got the dude under contract after this season for another 8 years. And we know at the end of the day, you get to the back end of that contract, God only knows what Ohtani's going to do. You know, is he even going to be able to throw? Are they going to just have him be a hitter? Is he just some emergency dude that they have out there? I think he is so walking on water, up in the clouds. Like, tell me, what pressure is there on Shohei Ohtani? The Dodgers are good without him even pitching. They've been dealing with plenty of injuries. Like, what pressure could he possibly feel?
I could say that maybe he's pitching to feel the pressure of the fans getting him to back to normal, where they saw him as a Cy Young contender and All-Star as a pitcher. And so that maybe he doesn't really feel relaxed into, like, getting, okay, I feel trust in my fastball. I don't feel comfortable with my curveball. It's a mental thing, maybe.
Yeah, no, I think this guy's good. I mean, it's not like he says anything for us to know anything different. Yeah, anything that he does say comes through a translator. This guy goes home, plays with his dog, looks at his wife, and plays baseball. I think they put him in the wall so he can get charged up so he can go back out there and play again. He's different. He's coming off of a World Series, an MVP. I think he'd have the least pressure out of just about anybody in the game outside of anything that he puts on himself to be excellent. And I remember vividly, and it's not a surprise, we see the same type of execution and commitment like when Ichiro came up. I loved his rookie season. Ichiro came up and it's every month went by and it was just like, oh boy, what's he going to do? He kind of was slow at the start. And then after that, it was, are you serious? The guy was MVP in his first season. It's because, man, out in Japan, they treat baseball in many regards like it's going into the military. It's regimented. And I think with Shohei Ohtani, it's the same exact way when he was coming up in the system. It's like, hey, man, we going to boot camp for baseball. So I think his dedication and his mind is probably sharp as anybody's. Slow burn, slow grind here for Shohei Ohtani. I can't wait to see what he does at the end of the season. And look, the guy might have an ERA north of four. And even if it is four and a half or what have you, I think everybody's understanding that, look, it may not be until next year where he's back at it. So, look, there's a lot of things I don't like about baseball in the first place. The idea of an opener just makes my skin crawl. But it's a new time. It's a new day. It's a new era. And Shohei Ohtani's back. He's out here doing double duty. And let's see how the Dodgers go out there and stretch him out. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. We know Ohtani, does a little bit of everything. When we come back on the other side, we're going to talk about an NFL player. His general manager said, this guy can do it all, and damn it, we just might make him go out there and do it all. That's Travis Hunter. They're like, man, he ain't going to play all the time. It's impossible. And then, yeah, Shohei Ohtani, by the way, he made his return to the mound yesterday, the same day that his old translator, Ipe Mizuhara, he checked into federal prison. No, life comes at you fast. Here's some advice, people. Just don't steal. There's a little bit of JR wisdom. We'll talk about Travis Hunter on the other side of the break. We'll talk about Manny Ramirez. Rafael Devers just had his introductory press conference. We got NHL action tonight. Stanley Cup finals could come to a close. There's a lot going on. So let's go to a newsflash right now with Rich Ackerman.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Well, we'll see Ohtani down here for his little all-star break, if he should have any of it. We just talked about Shohei Ohtani and his return last night. Pitched one inning, but then had all the wonderful hits at the end of the game to help the Dodgers go out there and beat the Padres. And Shohei Ohtani is a freak. The guy can do it all. Yeah, maybe he can walk on water. I don't know. Just next thing I know, he'll be saving cats from trees and helping old ladies across the street. Shohei Ohtani can do no wrong. He's so naive to the world. He got robbed by his own translator to the tune of $17 million. So Shohei Ohtani is he's a special dude, a special individual. Anyway, he's not the only special guy in the world of sports right now. Shohei Ohtani, two-way star, right? He's like, he can pitch, he can hit. In the NFL, every now and then we've seen somebody operate on offense, see them operate on defense, but not to the degree potentially that we might see and have in Travis Hunter. And I know we got to wait a while to see him really get in action. Young guy got married, won a Heisman, first 2A dude to win it since Charles Woodson did it. Seen him operate in mini camp. We'll see what they do with him in training camp. But the biggest thing will be, what will Travis Hunter do? How will he be utilized by new head coach Liam Cohen by the time the games really matter come September? And so I think we got a little bit of a hint. Liam Cohen has been effusive about, absolutely, we're going to use him in both ways. And their new GM, James Gladstone, I believe is the youngest GM in the entire league at 34 years old. The guy looks like he's 20. James Gladstone basically said, when it comes down to his snap count, listen to what he said on Sirius XM NFL Radio.
Time will truly tell, and I think the thing that you can, in fact, lean into at this stage is he does not tire. He has got a spark. He has got the energy, the capacity from a physical standpoint just to be able to do it is certainly there. It'll be in terms of one game to the next. Where does it fit? Where does it make the most sense? Certain game plans might dictate usage differently. So time will truly tell, and I don't know that one game to the next is going to be the exact same, but putting a number on it at this stage is, I think, probably premature. But look forward to seeing how it really plays itself out here and him earning his spot on both sides. Certainly going to be an opportunity for him. Got to take advantage of it here down the stretch.
Man, that's crazy. Of course he looks like he's physically capable of playing offense and defense all day. He's not doing anything. And I mean, not anything as in, like, of course he's showing up to work, he's practicing, he's learning to play, but of course he's doing all of those things. He ain't playing in no real game. Ain't nobody out there trying to lay his ass out. He's playing offense and defense in a glorified scrimmage. Come on, man. he's not doing that in the regular season. He's going to have his offensive plays, have his defensive plays. I think they'll have, run him out there primarily on offense. There is no way in hell he's going to be out there. I would say, damn it. And maybe game plan changes game to game. 50% of the time on each side of the ball, I doubt it. I just know this. He has to get hit and beat up by real NFL players. That part has not happened yet. And so everybody can pontificate and think about what's going on. But I think it's a massive transition from his body. We can all talk about him being an energizer bunny. Even back in college, I mean, he would take some hits there and he would miss time. He'd get banged up. And yeah, okay, fine. You gain some weight. You put on some muscle here in the NFL. It may take a few years. Well, it will take a few years before his body reaches max and full level maturity. But I kind of pumped the brakes on the Travis Hunter hype train. He ain't doing what he did in Colorado at the NFL level. It does not seem feasible in any way, shape, or form. James Gladstone continued on, and he talked about overall his development here just from when he's arrived a couple months ago.
The windows for development in the NFL, they are few and far between, right? The offseason program is where it exists. In its healthiest state, our understanding that Travis is most naturally comfortable, most naturally in tune on the defensive side of the ball. We wanted to load him offensively throughout this window to ensure that by the time we got to training camp, we had a runway built up on that side, because there's so much more nuance, so much more adjustments in real time on the offensive side of the ball that would require a lot more learning. So with this phase of the process sort of being rooted through that lens, that's why we wanted to put the emphasis on O, knowing that we would then trickle in the defensive participation a little bit more towards the back end of the offseason program and really as we get into training camp. I do think there's a little bit of a misconception in that it's wide receiver first, corner second, as much as it is the learning methodology of wide receiver through this phase and then continuing to trickle in more defense, since that is his primary background.
Listen, this is what it boils down to, brass tacks. The NFL is an offensive-driven league. I think if you want to ensure that he has success, and Bacha, you talked about it, and confidence in regards to Shohei Ohtani. Shohei Ohtani's been here before, done it, seen it. Travis Hunter is getting ready to experience something that he's never done at this level. There is no other level for him to go past this. And I certainly believe that he can have success. But I think as you're slowly but surely indoctrinating him and baptizing him here into the NFL, we all know it's easier to play offense than defense. The NFL has adjusted the rules for so many years to encourage offense. You know, we don't have 6-3, 9-3, 12-3 games anymore. These games are 45-35, and they're shootouts. And when you have a pure athlete like Travis Hunter, I think the first way that you get him acclimated and set up on the field is by letting Trevor Lawrence throw him the ball and then having him go out there and spot duty until he feels much more comfortable. Bacha, what do you think about his potential usage this upcoming season?
I also think it's 10 times safer to be an offensive player only. If you're a defensive player, if you think about it, every single play, your job is to tackle and take down an opponent. When you're on offense, you can block, yes, but most of the time when you're a receiver, half the time you're not getting to the ground. So if you're thinking long-term success with your young lottery pick, you should not try to rush him into a two-way role. Get him on offense, and then you can maybe after year one, after he learns how to diet, take care of his body, then push him into a two-way role.
Yeah, so you wouldn't have him play defense at all? No nickel, nothing at all?
At least to start the year, no. I would say maybe a series here or there when you need him, and then you work his way up. It's like a snap count.
Yeah, I think that's what they will do. When you talk about him on off, and yeah, if he's playing defense, it wouldn't shock me if he goes out there, lays the wood, and next thing you know, he's clutching at his shoulder. That's what nobody wants. But at the same time, with his frame, we don't really see a lot of wide receivers that are that wiry, that are that successful. Granted, he's a freak athlete. He just won a Heisman. Chad Ochocinco was not somebody who was just walking around with extra LBs. I can think about Robbie Anderson. He's one of the skinniest wide receivers that I've ever seen in my life. And I don't know. It only takes one hit to lay a guy out. I mean, if Travis Hunter's out there and he's getting, let's just say, six targets his way in a game, it only takes one to lay him out good. And we've seen him in college. He got popped and he's just like, oh, my God, lacerated this and busted up that. So I think there is a concern, but he's a freak. I think in a lot of cases, I think he would be fine on offense. And, sprinkling a little snap count here and there, a little duty. Maybe there's a particular player he's familiar with. And the other thing is, I'm not trying to take a dump on the conference, but it's not like he was playing in the Big Ten. Not like he was playing in the SEC. A lot of these players that he's going to be going up against, for the most part, at this next level, they're going to be unfamiliar. And so go ahead and work them out. And then also, let's also be real. Everything with the Jacksonville Jaguars is brand new. The head coach is new. The general manager is new. The only thing that's new is Shad Khan. And this is a guy who got swindled out of millions of dollars by a guy working in his own accounting department. It's also the same guy who decided to hire Urban Meyer. And so you would hope that the Jacksonville Jaguars do not ruin Travis Hunter. Like, they traded up to go out there and get the guy. They've made some poor decisions in the past. And I don't put it past the Jags to make some poor decisions moving on into the future. Hopefully this also helps Trevor Lawrence works things out. I think he's been a massive disappointment coming out of Clemson. I mean, shoot, when the guy was just here still in Georgia, he was the second coming. Yeah, the long hair. It's like this guy is quarterback of football Jesus coming out of Georgia. Goes up to Clemson, and the next thing you know, he's like, okay, he's the next thing. And the Jacksonville Jaguars take him, and maybe they have ruined him with some of their poor decisions. So we'll see what happens with the Jacksonville Jaguars. And then Travis Hunter. People talk about his personal issues, him getting married and all his other stuff, but he seems like a good dude. I wish him nothing but the best. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. Man, I'm still on the correlation between Shohei Ohtani getting robbed and, well, the Jaguars getting robbed. Bacha, how much money do you have in a bank before you don't recognize $17 million is out your account?
Well, he's got $17 million. You'd have to be at close to a billion, right? I feel like...
How much money would it take
For me to notice $17 million was gone?
Forget $17 million. How much money would have to be out of your account before you go, hey, who stole my money?
I would say like $30,
$40. $30, $40, yeah. Shohei Ohtani is swimming in money. He's like $17 million is missing? Okay. Well, where is it? I don't need it, but what happened to it?
Also, I still don't get how he didn't have any security, didn't have like text to his phone, emails, anything that could have told him, yeah, your money's being transferred.
It's called being naive. It's called being naive. I know there are people that think that Shohei Ohtani, it's an easy joke to make. Oh, he was in on it. Oh, you know, this guy's going to prison for Shohei Ohtani. I mean, look at Shohei Ohtani. Looks like he is thinking about one thing, baseball. And I think he really trusted this dude. This is a guy who came over from Japan. He's out here playing in America. His closest person, the closest human being that he is to, is also Japanese, happens to be his interpreter. And his interpreter took him for a ride. I mean, how difficult is it to just say, hey, I have access to all his things. Yeah, bro, I'll help you open up a bank account. Yeah, sure. And then he's handling, he was his assistant. Like, you think Shohei Ohtani is a crook too?
Not a crook. I'm just saying he's an idiot. Because you can hire a financial banker. You can hire an accountant. Your translator should not be your accountant.
He doesn't have to be his accountant, but if he is at his beck and call and he's right there with him, look, stupid people are born every day. But when you're Shohei Ohtani and you don't have to penny pinch or watch every dollar that's in the account, and you really trust somebody, sure. Well, look, the guy got caught. He's going to prison. I don't want to call Shohei Ohtani stupid. I don't think he's a stupid man. I think he's naive. I think he came over and he did his job. He's done his job. That's played baseball. And he's learned a crazy, crazy lesson. I mean, if you would tell me that some guy out of, I don't know, Chicago was getting his account tapped into, some baseball player in Chicago, be like, yeah, that guy's stupid. Shohei Ohtani is baseball militant. I don't think he's prepared for everything going on in life. And he trusted a guy. I think you live long enough. I think every now and then you encounter somebody. You just go, yeah, I trusted that guy. And look where it ended up. Shohei Ohtani, unfortunately, learning the hard way. Still getting paid $700 million contract. Who cares about $17 million? Oh, let's also not count the endorsements. What a world. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. Speaking of a crazy world, Rafael Devers introduced about an hour ago to everybody out in San Francisco. We'll talk about him and how he'll do in San Francisco now that he's out of a Red Sox uniform. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, the Infinity Sports Network.